Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
Jesus was never like that. It wasn't what the Father had called him to do or to be. We as a people, I believe, are not to be like that. This is a church is not to be like that. Now, the religious elite in Jesus's day were like that. Sometimes you read, and it's almost like rather than drawing people to be closer to God, the religious elite were pushing people further and further away from God, okay? But let me just tell you something, gang. God is not boring.
You know, it's a tragedy when teaching or preaching about God and the good news of the Bible is drab and boring. And unfortunately, it's pretty common in churches today. Because the gospel message is actually radical and beautiful and exciting. And when Jesus himself taught, he wasn't drab, but was engaging and welcoming and full of joy. Today, Pastor Michael will explain how teachers should seek to allow the truth of the word and the example of Jesus to fuel a beautiful expression of the gospel to a needy world. Now, here's Pastor Michael as he begins his message, A Different Way of Doing Church.
I was just looking up heartbeat and what that is for an organization, and I found this definition that I wanted to read to you. It's what are the things that are most important in forming the character of a church or an organization? What are those things that are most important? What gives it its uniqueness and its personality, okay? The Alpine Chapel, just to be honest with you, the Alpine Chapel is probably a lot like a lot of churches around the world. Our doctrines are probably very much the same as many, many churches and, really not too much new under the sun. But there are a few things that are different about this particular place that I think those that God has called to be a part of this particular family need to understand. I just wanted to say this. This is not going to be talking about doctrines, okay? Doctrines are very, very important, but we're not going to be talking about doctrines. These are more of what I'm going to be calling core values or the methods of why we do some of the things that we do. But it's important to understand that I'm not talking about doctrines here, but I am very much looking forward to this series, and if you're not, just keep that to yourself. All right, okay. I do understand that we always have a large number of visitors that come to this particular church, and that it makes messages like this very interesting. I've been here now for 4 years, last month, and have not done anything like this since I have been here. I'm a verse-by-verse guy going through the Word. To do a topical series like this is very different for me, but we are finding a number of locals that are beginning to come to church here. Last night we had our Saturday night service and we counted, we don't always do this, but we had 45 people here last night. So if they were in this room right now, look around. That would be pretty rough, right? All the people that are afraid of germs would be like, see ya, you know, we're out. So God's doing a cool thing with the locals and he's bringing them in. And I think that's really, really awesome. But there's also folks here that we, just a weird group of people we call second homeowners. And, they own a home somewhere else but they're here. They would call this their home for, a month or so while they're here and they love our church. And I love that too. And then we always have people that you're just here today, like you're just visiting and my prayer is that this series and this message specifically will minister to all of us, okay? Because here's the deal. If you're called to be a follower of Christ, then you are called to be a part of this thing called the body of Christ, the church. And so it's not just about this little dinky church in Telluride. It's about the church, God's people around the world that we're a part of. Have you ever run into a Christian from a whole nother place and you're like immediately, you get along with them? You're like, that's so weird. I don't know why that is. Well, I know why it is, because you have the same dad. Amen? We have the same father. And so we are all part of this family, and I pray that this will minister to all of us. So the Alpine Chapel, or Alpine Chapel is the acrostic that we're using for these 12. There's actually 12 letters in Alpine Chapel. Isn't that cool? See how I did that? So today we're on the A. And A stands for, and by the way, we put these all over the place. There's been a banner for 2 years in the foyer there. There's one out on our porch. It's always funny to see visitors come by, and I'll see many times I'll be in here working or praying or whatever, and I'll look out and I'll see people on our porch, and they'll try to look in the windows, and then they'll take a picture of this banner of our heartbeat, our core values, and I love that. We had a couple Jehovah's Witnesses come by one time, and I invited them in, and they walked in the door, and they were looking around like, this is weird, you know, this is awesome, and you have windows, and they don't have windows. Did you know that? But they came in and they saw that blue banner and they took a picture of it. And they were like, this is really cool. We're going to show this to a lot of people. And I was like, yeah, show it to a lot of people. While you're knocking on doors, just show it to people on your phone. Anyway, today we are in the A different way of doing church. And I'm going to read this to you. We are in the radical pursuit of bringing glory to God. God has always been creative and original in his approach to loving and reaching people. Why shouldn't we be? We don't seek to do things a certain way just because that's how they've always been done. But we seek with all of our heart to be led by God's Spirit in all of our ways. Amen? Isn't that good? You know, gang, when Jesus of Nazareth walked this planet, there were some of the religious folks that didn't like him very much. But for the most part, you know, there's a lot of people that loved Jesus. They loved him, man. They loved listening to him. Because Jesus was different than anybody else they'd ever heard. The Bible says in Mark chapter 12, verse 37 at the end there, and in this translation, it says a large crowd was listening to him with delight. Like they loved to listen to him. In other translations, that same verse says that the common people heard him gladly. Common people. You know, I don't know about you. I'm a common people. You know, Jesus was so cool. He never spoke over people's heads. He was approachable. You ever get that feeling when you're kind of around somebody, you're like, oh man, I don't know if I could talk to them. They're so holy. A lot of people feel like that with me. But I think Jesus was approachable, man. Little kids would come running up to him. And literally the disciples are like, hey, he's the holy man. Leave him alone. And Jesus is like, get back, man. What are you talking about? This is who the kingdom of God is for, people like this. He was approachable. He was compassionate. You know, there's this story where Jesus is looking out at the crowds and he's tired. He's been ministering and the disciples are like, bro, you need a break. And Jesus, the Bible says, looked at the crowds with compassion and he just wanted to minister to them because he had that kind of a heart. He didn't want to minister to them because that was his job and that was what he was getting paid for. He had compassion on the people. There was no one like Jesus. He never spoke over people's heads. When he spoke, he had this way of speaking where just about everybody in the audience understood him. Whether you were a child or someone of great intellect, you were challenged by his words and you listened. They delighted in him when he spoke. I'll be honest with you. I just don't get it when preachers are boring. Like, there may not be a greater sin than making the greatest message in the world boring. I'm just being honest with you. I don't get it. I don't understand how you could take this message of Jesus and say it monotonely or with no passion. I don't understand that. I remember I was hearing this story about a pastor who was invited to speak to the entire town, like at a civic function. And so they said, hey, we're going to give a bunch of people time to speak. You get 10 minutes. So the reverend was like, yeah, I get to talk to the whole town. Let's do this. So he gets up there and dude, 10 minutes goes by like that. How many of you know you don't want to ask a minister to speak shortly, like in time, right? But he does. 10 minutes comes and goes really, really quick. So all of a sudden it's 15 minutes and the guy who's the moderator is, he's got a gavel and he begins to sort of tap the gavel on the table and he does one of these. He does, he's clearing his throat, trying to get this reverend just to wind it up, you know, doesn't get the hint. He just keeps going. Now we're at 20 minutes and the moderator is like hitting the gavel on the table. Bam, 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 bam. The guy's just, you know, sounds like Doc Holliday over there. Doesn't get the hint, man. 25 minutes, 30 minutes. Now he's just going 30 minutes, man. He will not shut up. Everybody is just dying. And the moderator is just banging on the table. Finally, he's had enough. And he throws the gavel at the guy speaking, at the pastor. And he just barely misses him. barely misses him, and it flies through and hits the guy on the front row, some elderly guy who's fallen asleep. Hits him right in the head, and he wakes up, and this is what the old guy says. He says, "Whoa, please hit me again. I can still hear him." I love that story. Some of you feeling like that right now? Okay, good. It is how it is sometimes, though. You come to church, you're listening to some preachers preach, and it can almost be like watching paint dry or grass grow or something like that. And I don't understand that, and I'm not saying I'm the best in the world. I'm not. But my heart is to try to bring and do what Jesus did. People heard him of all ages and all classes and all intellect, really, and all different types of jobs and things like that, and they loved to listen to him. Sometimes I'll go and listen to somebody, and I'll think, man, they really know a lot of big words. And I'll leave, and I'll say, that was impressive. I don't know what he said, but I'm glad. I guess he's on our team, you know. But anybody ever done that? Jesus was never like that. It wasn't what the Father had called him to do or to be. We as a people, I believe, are not to be like that. This as a church is not to be like that. Now, the religious elite in Jesus's day were like that. Sometimes you read, and it's almost like rather than drawing people to be closer to God, the religious elite were pushing people further and further away from God, okay? But let me just tell you something, gang. God is not boring. God's not dull. God doesn't do drab. That's not what he does. If you don't believe me, when you walk out, just do a 360. I remember when we moved here 4 years ago and we lived upstairs, and I remember thinking to myself, because Kelly didn't join me right away. She had to finish her job there. So I was up here by myself, and I remember walking out, and I'm like, well, you know, we're in an alley, because the stairs come down. I go, so it's sort of like this alley, and they were working across the street, and there was big garbage cans everywhere. And I thought, we're in an alley, you know, this is where we live now. We had all these acreage and a big house, and now we live, and we have an alley. And then I turned right, and this has got to be the best alley on the planet. I'm not kidding, man. You go out there, and you see dumpsters and stuff, but then you look, and you see the waterfall, and you're like, whoa. Dude, let me tell you something. God can make an alley awesome. He doesn't do drab. He doesn't do dull. Do you know that the fifth word in the entire Bible, in the beginning, God created. God is extremely creative in everything he does. Amen? God created the entire universe from the infinite complexity of a single cell to the vast cosmos of faraway galaxies. And you know, as creative as God is, I mean, all you got to do is just look around at where we live or where maybe some of you are visiting and to see that, God, wow, you really are creative. You could have made everything in black and white or whatever. You could have made everything just look like Texas, but you didn't. Sorry, what? Oh, 50% of you are from Texas. Oh, sorry. But you gave us Telluride, bro. And you know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, I don't have it up here, but I'm going to tell you. You know what it says? It says, be imitators of God. God is so creative and awesome, and we are called to be imitators of him. I love that. This is why this is part of the heartbeat of who the Alpine Chapel is. We want to tap into, if I can say it that way, that creativity of God's Spirit. And we want to do things not just because that's how everybody else does them or that's how they've always been done. We want to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And it doesn't make us better than anybody else, but it's what God's doing here. Because how many of you know, in a resort town church, we have to be a little creative. And I can't just go and buy a book on how to run churches in resort towns. Because I looked when I first got here. I'm on Amazon. How do you do this? They hired me for all this experience, and I'm here going, I don't know what I'm doing. Because it's different. But you know what? God knows. The Holy Spirit knows. And so, you know, like the old time radios that we used to have to tune in to get to the right station, all kinds of radio waves flying around this room right now. But unless you're tuned right in to what, then you're not going to hear that station. It's sort of like that with the Spirit. I think sometimes we're so busy and distracted by so many other voices. God's saying, slow down and tune right in because my Spirit wants to direct you and guide you. We want to be a church like that. You know, sometimes we want to put like a motor on a little speedboat. And then we turn it on and we just plow wherever we want to go. But God's like, no, actually, I want you to be more like a sailboat. Throw up the sail. Let my wind take you wherever I want you to go. Stop just doing things for the sake of doing them and going through the motions. Throw up the sail and let my Spirit lead you. Not just as a church, but each of us individually. When we're at work and we have this one person who's a little different at work but they always want to be around us and we like them, but we don't know how to really talk to them. Let me tell you, there's no book to read on how to minister to that person. You need to throw up the sail and let the Spirit of God lead you on how to minister to that individual person. You with me? Well, we want to do that as a church as well. Someone much wiser than me once said, the seven deadliest words to any church, I'll bet a lot of you know this, is this: we've never done it that way before. That's the seven deadliest words to any organization, really. Hey, we got to do this, man. We feel like God wants us to do this.
Well, we've never done it that way before.
I know, but we're trying this because, you know, we're going with it. It's so easy to get caught up in just doing the same old, same old, same old because we're comfortable, and it's a little bit more of a stretch when God wants to do something different. But we got to be, gang, we must be willing to move with wherever God's Spirit is leading us. I talked with so many pastors, and I sat on a board that where pastors would call in, but I talked with so many pastors during COVID, and so many of those churches now are closed down. They didn't make it through COVID. And you know what? None of us knew what we were doing. There was no book on what to do. I mean, nobody alive today, unless you were around 1926 or whatever it was, no one around today knew what it was like to be able to not be able to meet. And so we had to be in prayer. God, what do we do? But you know what? The Holy Spirit went ahead of us before all of that. Do you know, like a month and a half before COVID, we installed cameras and all these things. And I look back, even like a door code downstairs. Half the town had a key to this building. And then all of a sudden, no one could get toilet paper. And we had boxes of toilet paper downstairs. And I was like, you know what? I'm really glad that not everybody has keys. Because I'm down there with a sword, you know, like in the Garden of Eden, you know, just protecting toilet paper. For you guys. It was for you guys. Thank God all that's behind us. Okay, all right, okay, sorry. I'm sorry, okay. I better keep going here with my message. You know, since I was 15 years old, people would ask me this question. They'd say, Michael, where do you see yourself in 5 years? What's your long-term plan? What's your 10-year plan? You guys ever heard that before? You know, and it's funny, if I'm in control of my own life, I have an answer to that question. But if God's in control of my life, I don't have an answer to that question. Where do you see yourself? Where does Alpine Chapel see themselves in 5 years? I don't know. Because God's in control. Is God in control of this church, or are we? Am I in control of my life, or is God? Because if God's in control, gang, get ready. We could have another COVID situation next week. But when we trust the Lord and our sails are up, we don't fade away. Amen? Because he's leading us in all those ways. All right, so I'm going to put this up here again. Here it is. We really are in the radical pursuit of bringing God glory. This is what we want to do. Because he's always been creative, and he's always been original in how he ministers and how he reaches different people. And we really don't want to just do things because that's how everybody else has done them. When you are a resort town, something I didn't know 4 years ago, but I know now, everybody and their sister wants to tell you what their home church does. That's successful, which is great. I'm not against that, but can I just tell you, sometimes what works in New York City does not work in Lincoln, Nebraska. What works in Lincoln, Nebraska may not work in Telluride. giving out corn cobs or whatever they do in Nebraska in the name of Jesus. But we want to tap into what God's doing here and what God wants to do here through his spirit, right? So, and I think there's three ways that we do this. I think there's three ways that every church and every Christian should do this. It's through our teaching, through our reaching, and through our unleashing. Okay, so you have this on your little yellow paper there. I really wanted the 3 points to rhyme, but I had teaching, reaching, and I had like screeching and leeching, and none of that worked. So unleashing. But let's talk about these real quick. In our teaching, and again, I just want to say, I am not talking about doctrine, okay? The message can never change, but the methods must change. The message, gang, here's the message. Here's very, very simple, okay? There's a few basic things that can never change. If they do, at this place, fire me, get rid of me, the message can never change. Well, what's the basic message? The basic message is this. First of all, this is the truth. The Bible, God's word, we believe is breathed out of God's mouth, and that every word in it is true and applicable to our lives. Even if the culture says, well, we like these parts, but we don't like this part. We don't listen to the culture. The Bible directs our lives and all of our teaching. Does that make sense? It's very huge here. One of the things that the church made very clear to me when they hired me, they were like, now, do you believe the Bible? I was like, yeah, of course. They're like, are you sure? Because we want someone here that believes the Bible. And I was like, amen. Sounds good. So Bible first. Secondly, we believe that all people are sinners and they need a savior. They don't just want one, they need it. Okay, we preach that. It's always gonna come out in the messages and everything that we do. We believe that God interrupted human history and gave his life to save us from our sin on the cross. His name was Jesus, okay? We believe this. We believe that he died, was buried, and was resurrected on the third day. We believe there is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way. There's not a bunch of ways.
Well, it's all relative, really, as long as you believe something.
Right? How many people have you met, you know, on the gondola or whatever? It's like, well, I don't really go to church. I take a hike on Sunday morning and that's my church. Okay. We believe that there's one way to the Father who resides in heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ. We also believe not only that he resurrected, but that he's coming back. So these are basic things. This is the message. This is the doctrines very quickly in 2 minutes. But I'm going to tell you, we believe these things. And I'm not talking about that today when I say that we want to tap into the creativity of the Holy Spirit in our teaching. The doctrine, the message never changes. It can never change. But the methods can change. You guys with me? Methods have to change. As the culture changes, we have to change our methods. Amen? Like, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm feeling maybe one of the methods that we should change here is in the summer, maybe we should get air conditioning. I don't know. It's hot up here. Anyway, these lights. But anyway, methods change. And you don't believe me, let me give you an example. I'll give you a couple. God has always been deadly serious about sin. Not really sin. He's deadly serious about the effects of sin on the kids that he loves. Right? So he's really serious about that. He always has been, okay? But his methods have changed over the years. We read in the Old Testament, he sends like whole armies out to annihilate cities and stuff. And you're like, wow, that doesn't sound very nice of God. Where's the lovey-dovey God that I hear about in church? He just wiped out on entire, you know, all the Amalekites or whatever. Well, what was God? He was deadly serious about his people intermingling with people that were, you know, worshiping false gods and stuff. So now he doesn't send us to go out and take out Rico, but, that's a town around here, but he doesn't do that, but he's still deadly serious about us not intermingling. Jesus said, I don't want you to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Amen? Right? Paul says, you're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world.
In Revelation 3:1, God says to the church of Sardis, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. In a person, you know they're dead when they no longer have a heartbeat. But what does it look like when a church is dead? What's the heartbeat of the church? In this series of Burning Hearts, Pastor Michael Kraft is going to investigate the heartbeat of a church, which works, attitudes, and beliefs demonstrate that a church is truly alive. You'll want to come back for each and every message of this important diagnostic series. How are you doing when it comes to being alive in Christ? We're so glad you joined us today. We hope today's message gave you something to take to the Lord in prayer in your own life. Burning Hearts is a ministry out of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Whether you live in the area or you're from out of town, we'd love to see you on a Saturday evening at 6 or Sunday morning at 9 for one of our worship services. We're easy to find, just half a block off the main drag in Telluride. You can find our location at thealpinechapel.com. If you can't make it, you can always join the live stream also at thealpinechapel.com or on Facebook. We love to interact with our listeners. So if you have questions, comments, or prayer requests, the quickest way to get in touch with us is through the email form on our website. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. Well, that's all we have for you today, but we'll be back again next time right here on Burning Hearts, and we hope you will be too.